Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
It's your time on Her Radio. Ask your questions or comment at askher@radiomd.com. Time to ask her.
Okay, it's Ask Her time. Yay. And woo-hoo. You and I, Michelle, oh my gosh, we got some good ones here, so let's just dive in. What are some signs of endometriosis? You know, this is everywhere. Good grief. It's sometimes, you know, called endo. It's a common health problem in women, very common. I know we hear about it all the time, you and I, Michelle. And it gets its name from the word endometrium, and that's the tissue that normally lines the uterus or womb. Endometriosis happens when this tissue grows outside of your uterus and in other areas in your body where it doesn't belong. And it could go all kinds of places. It was really common. At least 5 million women in the U.S. have endometriosis. And when a doctor's looking for that extra tissue, we usually find it on the ovaries, fallopian tubes, tissues that hold the uterus in place, outer surface of the uterus, and the other sites can include the vagina, cervix, vulva, bowel, bladder, or rectum. Good grief, and this is where the problem starts. So the symptoms of endometriosis.
The symptoms are pain. This is the most common symptom which women who have endometriosis complain of. There's very painful menstrual cramps, and the pain may get worse over time. You have chronic long-term pain in the lower back and the pelvis area. You also can have pain during or after sex. This is usually described as a deep pain and is different from the pain felt at the entrance to the vagina when penetration begins. Intestinal pain as well. You can have painful bowel movements, bleeding or spotting between your periods. This can be caused by something other than endometriosis, but it also a lot of times is caused by endometriosis. Infertility or not being able to get pregnant. Stomach or digestive problems. This includes diarrhea, constipation, bloating, and or nausea, especially during your menstrual period, or your cycle. Oy, that's a lot.
Okay, that's a whole lot. So who gets it? Well, you might be a little bit more risk if you've never had kids. Menstrual cycles, you know, that last more than 7 days, short menstrual cycles, and that means less than 27 days, and if a family member has it. And, you know, it's interesting, why this is caused. Yeah, there's genetic factors, as I just mentioned, some immune system problems, hormones. Estrogen appears to promote endometriosis. Surgery during a surgery to the abdominal area, like when you know, when you have a C-section or a hysterectomy, some of that endometrial tissue can be picked up and moved by mistake. And so, you know, how can you, what do you do to be able to prevent it? Sometimes you can't. It just sort of happens. It's genetic. I mean, you've had the surgery. Other things are going on. But there are things that you can do in terms of lifestyle that will be able to help you.
And don't women usually get it in their 30s and 40s, too, Pam? Is that when
usually,
we usually see it?
Usually, absolutely, no question, usually. Another interesting thing is one of the cures for endometriosis is pregnancy.
Exactly.
And so
a lot of women notice that
after they've had it, then they end up having no problems. It sort of resolves itself, at least for the time being, during that time. So, it's an interesting thing. So it's treated by all kinds of things. There's, if you're not trying to get pregnant, you get this extended cycle birth control. The IUD helps reduce pain and bleeding. There's also surgery for some people because it can really get to be really tough. There are women who've used other therapies like complementary therapies, herbs like cinnamon twig or licorice root, and then vitamins like thiamine, magnesium, omega-3 fatty acids may also help. You could definitely get pregnant if you've got it. As I mentioned, it's one of the cures. Sometimes you have problems getting pregnant, but eventually it's a done deal. So if you've got any of those issues, please, 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 I sound like a broken record. Michelle and I say, go see your doctor.
Yes.
And make sure you're not just sitting around, in a bunch of pain. not getting any help for this. So endometriosis, there's plenty of help. All right. Oh, boy. You know, the next question, Michelle, really hits home for both of us. What are some tips for getting over grief? You know, that's
a
tough one.
It's a tough one. And really, what is grief, right? I mean, it can be a divorce or relationship breakup, loss of your health, losing a job, loss of financial stability, a miscarriage, retirement, death of a pet, loss of a cherished dream, a loved one's serious illness, which we see a lot of, loss of a friendship, which I think, Pam, you and I both have experienced, and loss of safety after a trauma, which I definitely have experienced. And so what do you do? What do you do?
Well, let's look at some of the myths around that, because there are a lot. How about that first myth? The pain will go away faster if you just ignore it. True or false?
That would be false. It does not go away. It's only going to surface. It's going to be worse in the long run. So for healing, it is necessary to face your grief, period.
You got it. Okay, myth number two. It's important to be strong in the face of loss.
No. Feeling sad, frightened, or lonely is normal, is a very normal reaction to loss. So crying doesn't mean you're weak. You don't need to protect your family or friends by putting on a brave front, which I love to do personally, which is not a healthy thing.
Hey, women do this all the time. Michelle, you and I busted. I do the brave front so badly, I kind of forget I even have feelings. Here's another one, speaking of feelings. If you don't cry, it means you aren't sorry about the loss.
Oh, boy. Crying is such a normal response to sadness, but it's not the only one. So those who don't cry may feel the pain just as deeply as others. They may simply have other ways of showing it. So just because someone isn't crying doesn't mean that they're not showing it in other ways.
Well, you know, and here's one that really hits me. Grief should last about a year. I mean, who the hell came up with numbers on this one? I mean, like, 12 months?
I don't know how you even come close to thinking that it can last for a year. I think some grief can last for a lifetime, right? It just depends what it is, and there's no right or wrong time frame. It takes as long as it's going to take, and each person is different. We're all personalized.
And there are 5 stages of grief, right? So everyone needs to know these.
There are 5 stages of grief. One is face your feelings, express your feelings in a tangible or creative way, look after your physical health, don't let anyone tell you how to feel, and don't tell yourself how to feel either, which I think is a big one for us as women. Plan ahead for grief triggers, such as anniversaries and holidays. But you know, Pam, I never really thought about, but that's such a huge trigger.
Well,
right?
We're coming up on the holidays. They're coming. Way back in 1969, psychiatrist Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who, God, I've read just about everything she's ever written, she's the one who came up with these 5 stages. And in summary, summarizing what you just said, the first one's denial. Like, this can't be happening to me. Anger. Why is this happening? Who's to blame? Bargaining. Make this not happen. And in return, I will. Depression. I'm too sad to do anything. Acceptance, I'm at peace with what happened. Okay, so everyone out there, grief, grief, grief. We know what to do with it. We need to be able to cope with it, accept it. It's a huge piece of life here. There's absolutely no question about it. And our last little question, how can you track your ovulation, honey? Use the calendar method, body temperature, vaginal discharge, mild cramping. Use an ovulation predictor kit. Easy. And more importantly, go to empowerher.com because you're going to learn all of this from the wonderful blogs that we have all over Empower Her, too. Oh, boy, it's all good. So there you have it. Ask Her. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King Robeson.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and if you have a health question that you want to ask Dr. Peek and I to answer, email us at askher@radiomd.com.